Several years ago, more than 100 folks went from our church to southern Louisiana to help with Hurricane Katrina relief after that hurricane came to shore and just tore up so much of South Louisiana. Two of the people who went were Kevin and Jan Johnson. Kevin and Jan were on our plant team, helped start this church in 2001. Well, they were planning on going, but Jan really didn't want to go once she heard that there would be no electricity where they were going to stay and no running water. No electricity, she could handle, okay, but no running water, having to use a porta potty, she'd never done that, and that was just a bridge too far, so she decided she wasn't going. Fortunately, her three sons prevailed upon her and said, "Mom, you gotta go. This is a great opportunity to help others." So they went, and it turned out to be a fantastic family experience. She was just really glad that she went. Answering God's call to go, and it really changed her perspective on going. A year or two later, Jan ended up going on a mission trip to Cambodia. And this time the operative word wasn't porta potty, it was squatty potty. If you've ever been to Asia, you know what I'm talking about. But Jan was a trooper. She went, she loved it, she enjoyed it so much that she went back several more times until she had taken each of her three sons and got her husband to go to Cambodia. And since then, she and Kevin have added Brazil to their passports. Well, 6 years ago, when Brazos Point planted a church in Galveston, Jan and Kevin sold their home here. He continued making the commute back to work in the plant here. They sold their home. They moved to Galveston along with some other families and several single adults to help get that church started. And then just a year or two ago, year and a half ago, Kevin and Jan moved again, this time to Fort Worth to help their son, Scott, plant a church in the Fort Worth area. They have been to places they never, ever expected to go. That happens when you follow Jesus. What seems sometimes hard at first ends up opening the door to opportunities that you cannot get enough of. If you have your Bible, I'd invite you to open it up to the book of Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Acts is in the New Testament of the Bible, so that means it's more than three-fourths of the way across your Bible. It'll be like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Find Acts chapter 9 and wait there. Going and serving. Going and sharing the gospel, and gospel just simply means good news of Jesus Christ. It's been part of the fabric of Christianity since the very beginning of the church. And I want to show you an example of this going here that you might not have thought of in terms of going here in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, we're going to start with verse 10. In Damascus, and Damascus is it's the same city it was then as it is now. It's in Syria. In Damascus, there was a disciple, and by disciple, it means here a follower of Christ. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. And we don't know what this vision was. We don't know if he was sleeping, it was a dream, or if it was in the middle of the day, and God just you know, let him know he was speaking to him, but he spoke to him in a vision. "Yes, Lord," he answered. Verse 11, the Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying." In a vision, so Saul has seen a vision too. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. And at face value, this is already just an amazing story. First, Ananias receives a vision from God. I mean, this doesn't happen all the time. When's the last time you had a vision? So the second thing is he is told to go someplace very specific, the house of Judas on Straight Street. That's not confusing. It's very clear, so he'll know whether or not he has done what God taught him to do. And finally, it's kind of mind-blowing to think that someone is praying for something. And he said, go there because he's praying, and he's seen you come lay hands on him to pray for him, to heal him. It's kind of humbling to know that someone is praying for something, and God is going to use you to be the one to answer that prayer. Those are some incredible things right there that should have really impressed and excited Ananias. But one other thing, those three things were greatly overshadowed by one other thing that God said to him in the vision. The name of the person he told Ananias to go see, a man from Tarsus named Saul. And as it turns out, this guy Saul was pretty well known. Look at verse 13. Ananias certainly knew who he was. "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many, many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." In short, this guy Saul was dangerous. He was a real enemy of anyone who called Jesus Lord. You see, persecution had broken out against the church down south in Jerusalem. Saul was a leader of that persecution. He hated all things Christian. And as Ananias realized, he had authority to come to Damascus and arrest anyone who was a Christ follower. In fact, Saul, it was known at this point that he was connected to the murder of a Christ follower in Jerusalem whose name was Stephen. Saul was not someone you wanted to go chat it up with, much less help. And I'm sure Ananias is thinking, if he's blind now, that's all the better. It makes it harder for him to come and harm us. Listen, I want you to write this down in your message notes. Don't be surprised when God calls you to go somewhere that doesn't make sense, because it's going to happen. If you follow Jesus Christ, God is going to say go, and there's going to be a time where going is just not going to make sense at all. It would be like God sending you to someone who has really hurt several members of your family, and he says, go help them. It would be like God sending you to someone who got a family member or a friend fired from a job. That's the kind of person you would want to help. It would be like God telling some of you students to go and help someone who's bullied you, or someone who kind of moved in on a friendship and stole your best friend or your boyfriend or girlfriend. I mean, this was unthinkable. It just did not make sense. Imagine, if you can, God in some way that is very clear to you impresses upon you his desire for you to go and help someone you either fear or hate or both. How would you respond? How could you not respond like Ananias did? Surely you're not asking me to do that, God. But God was. Look at verse 15. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. This was even more confusing for Ananias. Proclaim your name to the Gentiles? Why on earth would I want to do that? Why would you want to do that? You see, the first Christians, thousands of them now at this time, they thought Jesus was just for them, the Jews. For all the love these Christians were extending to one another and helping each other out, they were not extending it to the Gentiles yet. Anyone that means, Gentile means anyone that was not a Jew. You see, racism in the early church was very strong. It's prevalent. They didn't think of it as that, but that's what it was. So helping this guy Saul was bad enough, but helping him so that he could bring those Gentiles into our church where everything is so good and warm, you know, that's unthinkable. It's something Ananias never thought he would do, much less be asked to do. But when God spoke the second time to Ananias and said, go, that was really the only word Ananias needed to hear. Write this also in your notes. When God says go, there is really only one option. Go. Go. Because Ananias believed, he followed Jesus. And because he followed Jesus, when Jesus said go, Ananias went. In spite of his fears, his objections, his confusion, in spite of even his prejudice towards people not like him, Ananias went. God clearly said go, so he went. Look at verse 17. Here's what happened when he went. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a little backstory here. This ninth chapter in the book of Acts begins with the story of Saul, this guy that everyone was afraid of, Saul, leaving from Jerusalem and heading north to Damascus where Ananias lived. Saul's mission was to root out Christ followers like Ananias and put enough of them in chains and drag them back to Jerusalem to snuff out the church that was growing in Damascus. But somewhere along the road to Damascus, between Jerusalem and heading north to Damascus, God stopped Saul with this blindingly bright light, and it was so bright that it blinded Saul and probably terrified him as well. Then God spoke to him directly and said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. So Saul and the guys with him, he got up, and they had led him into the city at this point. And for the next 3 days, he prayed. He prayed, and I'm sure he prayed for a lot of things, but among them, he prayed for God to restore his sight. Now, this is interesting. When Ananias went to Saul, it's obvious that he knew what had happened to Saul. He knew that, Saul had been blinded by Jesus. But the question is, how did he know? Did Jesus also tell him that in the vision and the writer of Acts just didn't record it? Or had news about Saul's arrival in town already preceded him, and Ananias knew about it, heard that he had become blind along the way, and maybe Ananias just connected the dots. Oh, this makes sense. God blinded him, and now he wants me to go talk to him and heal him. Here's what we do know. Saul was very dangerous. Ananias did not want to go see him. He feared him. He didn't want to pray for his healing. And so he raised some objections. But when God said a second time, go, Ananias, because he believed, he went. And here's another interesting thing. It appears that God softened Ananias' heart toward him in between that time of the vision and before he got to Ananias, or maybe right when he walked up and he saw Saul looking so pitiful there in such a frightened state. Did you notice that he called Saul Brother Saul when he laid his hands on him and prayed for God to restore his sight? Look at verse 18 and see what happened when Ananias prayed. Verse 18, immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and so he obviously believed in Jesus now, and he went public with his faith right then and there and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Now, we never hear about Ananias of Damascus again, ever. But we hear a lot about Saul from this point forward. In fact, at some point along the way, God changed Saul's name to Paul, and Paul became the early church's greatest missionary, and he indeed went to people who were not Jews, and he helped open the church to everyone in the world. He preached and started churches all over Asia, and then he went to Europe and started even more churches there in Europe. Paul wrote letters back to some of these churches and to some of the church leaders that he had trained and all. And many of those letters that he wrote have become books of the Bible, of the New Testament that we have right here. But never forget that even though Saul, who became Paul, did so many great things, and so much of the New Testament of the Bible focuses around his life and the things that he did and wrote, never forget that the first Christ follower who showed kindness to Saul and who explained the good news of Jesus to him in a way that he could understand was this man named Ananias, to whom God said, go. And even though he was frightened, even though he had prejudice, he went. And God changed Ananias too, and that changed the church. And his going was a spark that just blew up the church. For my fellow baby boomers, blow up is a good thing now, okay? It means it grew real fast and strong, okay? So anyway, that's what happens sometimes when you go. I want you to write this down. Answer God's call to go. When God, not if, when God calls you to go, answer God's call to go, and you could light a spark that could change the world. I mean, Ananias' willingness to go, it was just a spark. It wasn't the huge fire, but that spark is what started the fire known as Paul. Go, go. You know, 17 years ago, God clearly told a group of us here in this community to go and start a church to share the gospel with people who would probably not ever go to a traditional church, but who needed to hear about Jesus Christ. Now, we didn't have to go far, at least not geographically, but we went. And this thing called Brazos Point blew up. Again, baby boomers, blow up. Good thing. Means something different now. You know, I knew the people that did know Jesus. I just knew in my heart they were waiting for us to come to them, to respect them, no matter where they were on the faith journey, or even if they hadn't begun it, but someone drugged them to church. And then to tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ in ways that they could understand. I knew God wanted us to do that. We just had to go and go to them. Now, years later, after we started this church and it was growing and God was allowing us to be part of lots of good things in our community, we prepared to build this campus right here. We were still meeting over in Clute in that shopping center on Dixie Drive. At the same time God was telling us to go here, he told a few families and several single adults that you're not going to get to go and build that new church. I want you to go to Galveston and help start a church there. And one of the families that left were Kevin and Jan Johnson. And they went. They went with a dream to share Jesus Christ on the island in a way that no one had shared that before, in just like here, in a non-traditional way. And there were obviously hundreds and hundreds of people on the island who are waiting to hear the good news in a way that they could understand, because Coastal Community Church is now reaching hundreds of people with the good news of Jesus Christ. People that would not have gone to church, any other church. Over and over, God has said go, and people have left here to share the gospel in other communities. 3 years ago, God told a family, we were talking about our church's work in Seattle, and God told a couple, I want you to go to Seattle, I want you to move there. And so they began applying for jobs, and they didn't get any jobs. They kept applying, they finally gave up. And while they were evacuated during the flood late last year, he got a job offer. And as soon as he did, they moved. And now they've become a part of the Hallows Church in North Seattle, a church that our church has been supporting and encouraging. Another couple with BPF Roots will be moving up there. They just got jobs up in Seattle, and they'll be moving up there later this spring. Because we believe, we go. It's who we are as Christ followers. It's what Jesus calls us to do. The last thing he said before ascending from earth into heaven at the end of his earthly ministry, he said, go. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And remember, I'll be with you always. Speaking of nations, while God was leading us to go and support new churches, and God allowed us to help start a lot of new churches over the past 17 years, he was also putting places around the world in our hearts, places like Romania, Kazakhstan, Cambodia, Guatemala, Kenya, Mexico. God put those countries on different ones of our hearts, and we all began to go to these places. A young woman named Lauren went to Southeast Asia. She felt God telling her to go there. She came back, and God said, go back. And so she went back, and she lived there along with another young woman from our church and spent a year there in Southeast Asia. Well, she came back again, and this time she met a guy named Kevin, and they got married. Kevin is the same Kevin who spoke here 2 weeks ago. Now, Kevin and Lauren call Southeast Asia their home. Because they believe, they follow Jesus. And because he said, go to Southeast Asia, they went. Because we believe, we go. You know, ever since we built this campus here, God has been filling it up with people hungry to hear the good news about Jesus Christ. We can't keep adding space here, at least not right now, not for now. We began praying because we knew, that we were going to stretch the limits here. We began praying at least 3 years ago. God, our goal has never been to just kind of have great big buildings here. It's just been to reach everybody we can in Brazoria County. And we began to pray and say, God, should we open another campus, another Brazos Point campus somewhere? And we prayed and prayed. At first, we didn't get any clear direction. But about a year ago, God made it clear to us that he wanted us to open a mid-county campus in the north part of Angleton. And I've had so many conversations with people from there in the surrounding areas who said, if we just had a church like this closer to home, I know I could get my friends to come and hear the good news about Jesus. For months, we have been assembling a team to launch that Mid-County campus on this Easter Sunday, April 1st. They're meeting in their first preview service as we speak next door. In fact, I went over, I spent the first 15 minutes this morning with them. They're in the room where a lot of the large meeting room where children meet right now, and that room is packed. It is full. They had to bring out more chairs just to accommodate all the people coming in. And when I left at 15 after, they were still coming in. Clearly, God has said go. And because he has said go, these people are going. And I am certain that they are not the only ones that God has said go to. God has probably said go to some of you. And how he's saying a second time, go. Because you believe, God's going to say go, and I would encourage you to go if he's calling you to go. Now, let me just say this, okay? Do we look forward? I was looking at the people's faces there, and those are people I thought, I'm not going to see here that much. Of course, I'm going to spend time going back and forth between the campuses. But do we really look forward to seeing people we love go and go to places like Seattle and Galveston and across the world? Of course not. But we know that there are people who do not yet know Jesus Christ. And as long as there are people on this planet who don't know Jesus, whether they're just across the county or around the world, when God calls and says go, we have to go. Sometimes go means move to a new place, maybe across the country or around the world. For others, like Ananias, It may just mean to go across your city to tell someone about Jesus, or to go across the county to another place. It may mean just go across the office or across the plant, go across the locker room, go across the band hall, go across the street from your house, or go across the hallway from your apartment to someone that God is leading you to help and to tell the good news of Jesus. Like Saul, that someone or some place where God says go to, it may be frightening to you at first, but if God says go, he will provide the way for you to go, and he will make what he wants to happen, happen. He'll use someone else if you don't go, but you'll miss out, and you may delay what's going to happen in their lives, and that's no good for them. We have a special treat for you this morning. One of the countries that God sends us to each year is Bolivia, and I was fortunate to go in 2016 to visit Bolivia. We've met some wonderful people there in a church named Kairos in the city of Santa Cruz, and they become our dear friends. Well, God told one of the people in the church, in the Kairos church, a young woman named Yandi, he told her to go and minister to children who were impoverished there in the city of Santa Cruz. And you may remember, I told Yandi's story last year, how she got on a city bus and said, God, I know you've told me to go, but I don't know where, and I'll just sit on this bus and pray until you tell me where to get off. And she prayed, and then when she got to this neighborhood called San Isidro, she felt God saying, here. She got off, and she began walking around the community. She met people. She started a ministry there. Since then, she met a young man named Edwin, and they fell in love. They got married, and now Edwin has begun helping that ministry with her. I want you to welcome Yandi and Edwin to the stage. They're back. Ed and Yandi have, a year ago when they were here, right after they came, pull those chairs up a little bit, right after they came, they went back, they quit their jobs, and they began living on faith, and people like some of you folks here, I'm sure, at Brass Point have been supporting them financially, and they've been leading that ministry. So you have you've left your jobs, and you're working full-time in San Isidro with the children. We want to hear what you're doing. Tell us about it. This is Yandi and Ed.
Buenos dias.
Good morning.
He's going to translate for you.
We're so, so honored to be with y'all this morning again.
Y'all, did you catch that?
Thank you so much for having us. Well, we're still working in San Isidro neighborhood, in this community, and now our ministry has a name. The name of it is Gracia, which means grace. Gracia has two programs where we work with children and their families, and one of those programs' name is Instruction and Development Program, where we work with the children of the community, and we feed them and teach them different things. In schools in Bolivia have two different shifts. One is in the morning and one in the afternoon. So we receive two groups every day. So the first group come for breakfast, with where they are coming to the morning in our ministry, and they have breakfast. We teach them different kind of I don't know how to say it, but different things of prevention about different kind of abuses that are suffering in this community. We teach them about Jesus and how they can have hope in him and how they can have a relationship with him. Also, they have lunch and we help them with homeworks, so they're ready to go to school. And the other group come from school to have lunch with us, and we have the same program for them, and then an afternoon meal before they go back home. So this is the first program, and the second one is Mom and Dad Take Care of Me, where we're working with their parents, but right now we're just receiving their moms, because most of the fathers, they don't want to come, because most of them are working, or some of them, they're drinking or having bad kind of lifestyle. So we're praying so the fathers can also join us, but right now we're working with the moms and also teaching them how to raise their children better and how they can love them better with Jesus and having a relationship with God as well. And we're just teaching them different skills so they can have or find different jobs and they can work at home without leaving their children. So this is pretty much what we do every day with their children and their moms or their families.
Tenemos 33 niños.
We have 33 children.
12 en la mañana y 21 en la tarde.
12 in the morning shift and 21 in the afternoon shift.
Y otra de las cosas que hacemos.
And one thing else that we do.
Es incentivar a que ellos vayan mejorando en la escuela.
Is that we encourage them to do better at school.
En Bolivia cada dos meses traen un boletín con sus notas.
In Bolivia, the children have a report from their grades every 2 months.
Entonces nosotros nos fijamos quiénes son los cinco mejores.
So we see who are the five top best in the school.
Y le damos a elegir qué premio ellos quieren.
And we reward them by they making them choose what they want for a gift.
Entonces un ejemplo de primero quisieron ir al cine.
For example, we took them to the movies.
Entonces lo llevamos a los cinco mejores
so
al cine.
So we took the five best students to the movies.
Y era la primera vez que ellos
and
visitaban esto.
And it was the first time they went to the movies.
Recuerdo que un niño me dice, hermano, mira esa televisión
tan
grande.
Remember one kid say, wow, look at that big TV.
Pero también con los reportes nosotros nos fijamos quiénes son los que están mal en la escuela.
But also with those reports from school, we notice who are just struggling a little bit.
Entonces nosotros le damos más tiempo a ellos.
So we spend more time with them, just helping them more to study.
A veces Yandy se queda en el programa y yo voy al colegio.
Sometimes I need to stay with the whole group and Edwin has to go to their schools
para
and see how
con
are
los
they
profesores.
Going to talk to their teachers and
porque sus padres están trabajando o a veces no les importa
because some of their parents are working or some of them they just don't care about their children.
Y los viernes en la noche después del servicio de las mamás.
So as we have the moms program every afternoon, every Friday afternoon, after that we have a church Friday night.
Tenemos una iglesia ahí mismo.
We have a church running in the same place.
En el patio de la casa.
As we are working in one house, one lady just offered her house so we can have a program. So there is a small room that we call it the classroom and the dining room because we do everything in there. That's the Gracia room. But on her yard, we're running the church every Friday night and also our kids can go out and we can play and do activities out there with them.
Entonces una iglesia hija de nuestra iglesia Kairos.
So it's kind of a small church from our big one Kairos that is in the city. And that's what we do every Friday night as well with all the children and the families and also people join us from the community to have this service, like the worship.
Can I just have one more question for you now? How can we here at Brazos Point help you and help the ministry of Gracia?
Una buena ayuda es sus oraciones por nosotros y por el ministerio.
A really good and important one is that you can pray for us and for the ministry.
A veces no sabemos qué es lo que pasa en lo espiritual.
Sometimes we don't know what's going on the spiritual.
Y la oración es una herramienta muy importante.
And the prayer, we believe, is the best tool to fight those things.
Y otra cosa que pueden hacer para apoyarnos es ir a Bolivia.
And another thing that you can do to help us is that you can go to Bolivia.
Son bienvenidos
yes.
Y lo vamos a estar esperando.
You're all welcome if you want to join us. We're going to wait for you guys if you want to serve with us there in Bolivia.
You saw that coming, right? Yeah. Go. And so we'd encourage you to do that. And really, as we put together different ways to help them, you can go on your own timetable, on your own schedule. We would rather have several groups, small groups, going all throughout the year than just one big group once a year in a time that doesn't fit your schedule. Go when you can. So talk to us if you'd like to, and we'll work on helping and connect you with them. Also, if you want to learn more, you can go and see them at the Next Step Center. You can pick up prayer cards there that'll remind you to pray for them. And let me tell you something else that I want to encourage you to do. You can pray for them, and please do that. Please pick up a prayer card and pray for them. If God is telling you in your heart to go. But let me tell you something else that they could very much use your help in is financially. They left their jobs. You were a school teacher. You worked in advertising. And, you know, they're living on faith. And sometimes they told me stories that sometimes they run completely out of money. And on the day that their bank account is zero, God will send some kind of help to them. That's what it's like to live on faith. You can help that be not so difficult by supporting them. You can either give them a gift, a one-time gift, or you can choose to be one of their monthly supporters. Other people, I believe, in this church have probably done that. So I'd encourage you to do that. Again, you can go to the Next Step Center afterwards and talk to them about how to help them. And I believe they have a bank account that you can deposit it in here. We do that directly through them. We don't do that through Brazos Point. So I hope that God is calling some of you to go. I hope he's calling most of you to pray, and I hope he's calling some of you to help financially. Ed, Yandy, thank you so much for coming. I appreciate it.
Thank you all. Muchas gracias.
Yes. You know, because they believed, they went. And because we believe, we go. We go. I want you to remember when God told Ananias, he said, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. Listen, do you realize, write this down in your notes, do you realize that God may tell you to go so that you can be the answer to someone's prayer? Just think about that. When we pray and ask God to help us with things, sometimes God does that through people. Well, guess what? God will do that through you. You will be the answer to God's prayer sometimes if you're willing to go. It may be Ed and Yandi who are praying for God to send some people to help them. And you come on the week that they really are at their lowest and they need encouragement. Or God tells you to support them financially and you make a deposit in their account so it can support them. It may be a ministry partner like the pastors I know in Seattle who are always asking us, send people up here to help on some of these short-term mission trips, but also send people like the two couples from our church who have already moved up there or are moving. And God may be sending some of you to transplant your lives and your work and your career to Seattle to go. Or it could be a person that God is, who is asking God somewhere around in our community right now. They're asking, God, are you really real? If you are, show me. Show me that you're real. And you may be the one God sends to show them that he is real. Go is not an option. It's not an option unless you want to miss out on the greatest opportunity you will ever have to live a life of significance and relevance and fulfillment. You may go somewhere for a lifetime or a year or just a few weeks, or maybe a day, or just an hour or so. But if God says go, go. God may call you to go across the street, across the state, across the country, or around the world. You may go to Angleton, or you may go to the next place where we start a church or a campus after we get that campus up and running. Or you may go out those doors, across the foyer, into the children's ministry building, and volunteer to teach some of the children and share the good news with them whose teachers right now are going to be leaving in a few months to go to Angleton to serve in that mid-county campus. When God says go, we need to go. Let's go. God, I pray that you would be with each of us. Father, I pray that you would help us to clearly hear your call to go. Wherever that go is, whether it seems big or small, whether it's frightening or exciting, God, help us to be willing to go. God, help us to trust you like Ananias did. And God, I pray that we could see ourselves being a spark that begins something greater than us and moves the good news into places where it's not been. Father, when you call, help us to trust you. Help us to go. I ask that in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.